And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Hey everyone, this is Patrick. I wanted to just give a huge shout out for The Receptionist for iPad. They've been a sponsor for this podcast for 4 years in a row, and I just want to say how grateful I am to their partnership and what they do for the not only therapist, but also medical community. Your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like billing or simply trying to make a cup of coffee between appointments or trying to use the bathroom, constant interruptions can derail your entire day. This episode and this year's podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist, a sign-in app company. The Receptionist for iPad is a HIPAA-ready digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients or patients can check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from the interruptions and make the most of your time, because it is valuable. Start a free 14-day trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Neurodivergent Entrepreneur Podcast, which is the first time I've said that when it's actually a reality, which is super, super strange. You know, the first time you said you were going to come on my podcast 5 years ago, you said your topic was going to be about twerking. So appropriate that we're here 5 years later and now like best friends. You have also broken the record for appearances on this podcast, which I think maybe like Shailene and Yunetta might be pissed about. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, it is what it is. So today we are talking about this. Yeah, you just need to be okay with it. Like, we're talking about the Diverge Summit that we're co-hosting together and kind of talking about why we've created it and inviting you to join us there, a completely free summit for neurodivergent entrepreneurs. And I cannot think of a better person to partner with to do that. And to give context for all of you, you know, I am autistic ADHD. Gabrielle is ADHD. We have a lot of overlap in terms of chronic health conditions and other struggles, but we're making it. We're making it work. And we just finished wrapping up all 23 interviews of our summit as of 5 minutes ago, which feels amazing.
Yeah. And I'm just excited to get this out there. And I was telling Patrick yesterday, my business manager, Christina, was like, this is so cool. This was such a good idea. I love that you guys did this because there's nothing, and again, as far as I know, right? Like, I don't know everything, but as far as I know, I haven't seen anything like this, which is why I wanted to create this. I've seen a lot of summits either like more clinical focused for neurodiversity or like more business focused, but nothing that kind of crosses those things and talks a lot about burnout and like mindset. So I feel like we kind of melded all the things together.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that looking at it from this holistic vantage point of zooming out a bit and saying, okay, we could certainly make this an entrepreneurial summit and talk all about business, or we could anchor into lived experience and talk all about success, creativity, but also highlight struggle. And I love duality and I love both sides of the coin when we're talking about entrepreneurship. Even if we weren't neurodivergent, I would still be preaching that entrepreneurship is fucking hard. And I think that gets missed a lot in entrepreneurial spaces where it's just like glamorizing and highlighting accomplishment and success. And we should celebrate success. We should try to take it in and feel proud. But we also need to acknowledge that for those of us who are disabled, for those of us with more sensitive nervous systems, with chronic illnesses, with intersecting identities, who are multiply marginalized, this is not an easy road.
It's not easy at all. And I think, to your point, there is a lot of, is glamorization a word?
I don't know. When I said it, I was like, I think I meant glamorizing, but I think my brain is fried.
To me, it sounds like a word.
Should be a word. It should be a word. Glamorizing, aka glamorization. That's what we're using today.
And I think a lot of people just see that. And a lot of people who come to me, and maybe to you too, see that. And they're like, oh, I want to do all these things. I want to host retreats and events and have income streams and do all of these things. And I'm like, you can have them, but not tomorrow. This years of really fucking hard work that has continued to be hard work, and that has given me a lot. It's also taken a lot from me. And, you know, even like with selling my business, the same thing, even though that was like almost, that was 6 years ago now, which is crazy.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Finger snaps.
Thank you.
Can't do it. So can't coordinate my fingers enough.
And like, same thing, or people are like, wow, that's like so amazing that you did that. Yeah. And I want to do that. And I'm like, and it almost fucking killed me. I mean, I have told this story before where I was like on the beach with my family trying to watch the sunset on Christmas Eve, but I was on the phone with my attorney getting charged whatever, $600 an hour, trying to like get this deal closed before the end of the year. And like, it wasn't a fun way to spend a holiday. And that's just one example of all of the things.
And I think that's a good, you know, I think it's this reality check sometimes where you start to think about creation and accomplishment and success. And then I start to connect the dots of like, what did that take from me? And was it worth it? I think there are some things that I would take back over these last 5 or 6 years. And there are some things that I'm glad that I've done. Like coaching programs, coaching courses, individual coaching. I wish I never did any of it. Starting a Facebook group, moderating said Facebook group, wish I never did it. But those things led to things that I am really grateful for. Like, I've now been doing this podcast for 5 years. I've had so many cool conversations with people and gotten to know them at their most vulnerable states while they talk about life and business and everything else in between. Hosting all the retreats I had, would I do it differently? Abso-fucking-lutely. Would I do it differently? Yes. Am I glad that I did it? Yes. I think like having those experiences, you know, especially with like myself and my speakers, or when I'm co-hosting with someone and you get to spend a lot of time together in a different country or a different location, and you really get to connect and you really get to bond and you get to really experience life in that way. And I would never trade those experiences. Like, the month you and I just shared together in New Zealand, I would never, ever trade despite the level of burnout that I've been in, because I think that was so life-changing. And I'm so grateful to have been able to create and do a lot of these things over the years. But I do wish I had learned to pace. I do wish that I hadn't pushed so hard. I had to work through a lot of core beliefs of only being as good as my creations and my accomplishments that came from like early childhood wounds. And, you know, I think I've almost destroyed myself in the process trying to obtain that like level of self-love and appreciation and respect and worth. And that's the stuff that I don't wish I had done. And sometimes you also get caught up in it, right? Like, success is addicting.
Yeah.
I have an addictive personality. I had a gambling addiction. Like, there's a lot of dopamine in success. There's a lot of dopamine in creation. There's a lot of dopamine in people liking your stuff and buying your stuff and commenting on it. Like, and I've really had to work hard, and I'm still working hard to separate myself from that, because I don't want that to be the source of validation. And I don't want that to be the source of contentment.
And I think I feel that when I'm away from work. Like, I'm thinking when we were in New Zealand at our, I call it the crying dinner.
Oh yeah. That was intense. And they just got a Michelin nod. So shout out to, what is it called again?
Aosta.
Aosta. And my cousin from the same province in Italy. So if you ever see this, know we're thinking about you.
We were having this beautiful dinner and an incredible place. And I think we were all feeling a little existential because we're dealing with the grief of things that were happening with your friend. And I was But Misha and I were just dealing with the weight of the world.
Yep.
And I'm just like always feeling a little existential. But mm-hmm. I just remember us talking about like, what is our life's purpose? Like, what does this all mean? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What is happiness? What is success?
Yeah.
Is it the dopamine hit that I get when people buy my courses like that happened this morning? Like, is that right. my life? Is that what I want it to be?
Sure.
No.
Well, our good friend, Cindy Miller, who was on the summit talking about human design, mm-hmm. you know, when she read my human design a few years ago, she was like, your life's mission is to use your voice and your message to get it out into the world. And I have tried really hard to anchor into that and embrace that. And I believe that to be true because even when I didn't have a platform or an audience or a single person following me, minus Terry Fedeli probably, and my grandma, okay, I would talk about the struggles all the time publicly on social media. And I remember like my mom messaging me and being like, are you sure you want to be this open? Are you sure you want to be this vulnerable? Like, are you sure you want to be having people know your business? And I'm like, yes, because I believe that my mission in this life is to make people feel less alone and to make things feel more relatable and to make things feel more human. And I stand by that to this day. And I think that when you anchor into purpose and things feel aligned within your values, that's when I think I can create and be in flow and do some of these projects without the cost, without the extreme fatigue and exhaustion and brain fog and pain that comes with a lot of it. And that's what we experienced together in New Zealand. Because for those of you who don't know, we did two separate 7-night retreats for two separate groups of mental health therapists and entrepreneurs. I, especially during the first event, and don't kill me if you came to the second event and you hear this, but the first event was all neurodivergent entrepreneurs and the second group was not. That's not their fault. We had a neurodivergent entrepreneur event. We had a beyond private practice alternative income stream event. So the neurodivergent entrepreneur event, I didn't feel like work to me. It felt like there was a lot of co-regulation happening with everyone in the group and individually and experiencing like all the sensory soothing and all the beautiful experiences and the landscapes and just completely unmasking around 20 other people and being in one of the most beautiful, sensory friendly, safe places on planet Earth. That was so special.
Speaking of that and also human design, something in human design, I forget what it's called, but like it is your purpose. So it's beyond like what your type is, but it's like your life's meaning. Mm-hmm. And mine is some weird thing like right angle cross of Eden or some shit, because everything in human design has weird words.
But is it your incarnation cross? Because I just looked it up. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And so mine is literally to heal people by like helping them and sharing my experiences, but giving them that experience, like literally creating an Eden for them. And mm-hmm. so I think of like New Zealand and that first retreat, there was lots of like, you know, esoteric spirituality shit happening, which I love, and lots of sound healing, which I love to mm-hmm. give.
Yeah.
That experience. And so that just felt like very fulfilling to me because I was like, this is like my zone. I feel mm-hmm. so good like providing this for them.
Yeah.
Also just like being in that space, being in nature.
Mm.
I mean, I did push myself a little bit, but
you did. I'm super proud of you. You went zip lining and you're afraid of heights. And that zip line course, in my opinion, wasn't scary, but it was horrible. And like you did it. And maybe it's a memory you don't want to anchor into ever again, but you did it. Like, you know, so I was very proud of you. I would have not judged you if you decided to walk down. I think the walk down would have been awful.
The walk down.
It's like a 2-mile hike straight down a mountain with no ability to like not destroy your knees and your calves and your ankles.
And they were like, we're not coming with you. So right. like you will be figured out. And they're like, or you could just do this 3-minute thing. So I chose the 3-minute thing. And now Ariel, Patrick's wife, and I have a trauma bond because of that experience. But it was good. Like I needed to do that. We also like spent the night in Doubtful Sound, which I get seasick and I'm afraid of throwing up. So that was a huge deal to me. But like
that was amazing too.
That was I think about that every day. Like that was one of the coolest things I've ever done.
There was no cell phone service, no internet. We were on basically the edge of the world on this tiny boat with 50 other people, most of whom were significantly older than the three of us. No shame, but just a reality check that we acknowledge. Like we were like, wow, this is our lives and this is our work.
Yeah.
We're watching people with struggling with mobility and really having a hard time. I think a lot of people wait until that age to travel and to have experience. And we've had so many experiences so early, but that was so special. And then the dolphins swimming next to the boat the next day. And then we went through that sound of silence where the captain turned the motor off and everyone was quiet for 5 minutes while we just drifted through this section of the world that, God, nobody would have even known where we were.
Yeah.
You know, we're just out there floating and it was awesome to just exist that way.
It was really, really special. There's no electricity sound. There's no other humans. It's just like truly being in nature with the animals and that's all you can hear. And they do that on every cruise that they do. And they've been doing it for like, I don't even know what, 70 years or something like that.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was hard to get to.
Yes.
And you know, those of you who don't know me yet, on this podcast, like I am a huge Anthony Bourdain fan. You can see him behind me. I have an Anthony Bourdain tattoo. He's a special interest of mine. And I really believe like he said it best. And he was talking about how the hardest places to get to are usually the most special and the most worth it. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And I've always tried to travel like that. I've always tried to figure out ways to do things that feel different than like, this is what everyone does when they go to New Zealand, or this is what everyone does when they go to Ireland. Like, I don't want to do that shit. And I never have. So it's been really special. You and I have had a lot of experiences along the way. Like over the last couple of years, since Italy, like since you came and spoke at my first Italy summit in 2024, what have we done? Like Italy, Ireland, Greece.
Belize.
We co-hosted Belize, a neurodivergent entrepreneur retreat in a nature eco lodge in Belize. You came to Spain, New Zealand twice we co-hosted. You came to Scotland. Portland, Maine is coming up. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah. We have,
you know,
and I think even with what you were saying about Anthony Bourdain, cause it's also a special interest of my husband. And I think it also goes back to just life. even in the hardest places in life is where I learn the most about myself, my capacity and what I can do.
100%. I mean, I'm going to look for a Bourdain quote about travel right now and I'm going to read it because it's so freaking helpful and special to me and I need to find it. So I'm going to pivot for a second.
Get it engraved on a frame when we got you the picture, but like he should pick what he wants.
I know. He was so special and like, you know, I still think that he was neurodivergent. I've said this so many times in my life, and I really believe that to be true. Okay, here it is. Travel isn't always pretty. It is not always comfortable. Sometimes it hurts. It even breaks your heart, but that's okay. The journey changes you. It should change you. It leaves marks on your memory, on your consciousness, on your heart, and on your body. You take something with you, hopefully, you leave something good behind. And that is one of my all-time favorite quotes. I think about that a lot.
We did leave things behind. We had our little rocks in Lake Waikipu and we just boop.
All those memories, you know, like you just get to anchor into those things when your nervous system is dysregulated. I think travel for me is so crucial to my survival. And that brings me to a point like, you all might hear me talk about my burnout, my chronic health conditions. You might hear me talk about it constantly on social media, especially chronic health stuff right now, because I'm in that season of life. And you still might see me doing things like traveling and experiencing things. And my philosophy is to live life as long as I can, regardless of the struggle that I'm experiencing. And when I cannot, then I don't know what happens next. But I do know that is what I want out of this life. And I want to be able to do it while I can, even when I'm suffering or even when I'm struggling, because I often feel the most healthy and alive when I am traveling and exploring the world and in movement and navigating new spaces and having different experiences. Like It's just the thing that makes me feel the most human, and it makes me feel like I have the most sense of belonging.
One of my favorite things is when you fly to a new country and you get off the plane, you can like feel the energy is different.
Yep.
And if it happens to be a red eye, you just like pound the pavement because you want to beat the jet lag, and you find like a cute coffee shop and you just start like exploring like that. The first day in a new place is my favorite.
It's exhilarating. I can feel that right now. I'm actually thinking of a moment like for the Scotland summit last summer, which was not easy for me. Edinburgh was so busy in July and it was so hot. Like that was a really hard event for me, and I had to leave and remove myself from it constantly to like sensory soothe and not have meltdowns in the event constantly. The first thing I did when I arrived was went to a coffee shop, cute coffee shop that in my neighborhood. I was sitting there having coffee, had a couple of desserts and cakes because they looked delicious and I couldn't resist them. And this couple came up to me and they were from the Netherlands, and they're like, "Hey man, it's going to sound really weird." And I was like, "Okay." And they're like, "We've watched your TED talk before and we listened to your podcast, and we're from the Netherlands and we're neurodivergent, and your TED talk helped me discover my autism like a couple of years ago and blah, 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 blah." And I was like blown away, you know, and they're like, "Can we sit and talk to you and pick your brain?" And I was like, "I'm so jet lagged right now, but sure. Like I'm going to use the exhilaration of this experience to like use that adrenaline." And I've had a lot of cool experiences like that, which are really surreal, you know, like having two podcasts that like have become globally recognized, you never realize how many people are listening to your voice or are familiar with you. Mm-hmm. And I've had that experience like 7 or 8 times now. When I went to do recon for our New Zealand event with my dad, lucky bastard that came with me for free, we went on a wine tour with Joe, our Maori guide, and he actually was involved in our ceremony. It's really beautiful. And these two women were like giggling during the wine tour, and they were like, "We listen to your podcast and we think this is going to be a weird day now that we all know we're getting super drunk together." And I was like, "Okay, like I don't know what to do with that, but thank you for the support." And I think those are the things that like, as neurodivergent people who often feel on the outside, who often feel less than or different or alien-esque or just like we don't belong in this world, those are the moments that anchor us into humanness. And I think they're so unbelievably beautiful. And I would not have any of that if I wasn't sharing my own experiences so publicly and so intimately.
And having community and friends and support for that is just so hugely important. And this is my love letter to Patrick, which I know you'll love. But I feel like our friendship really helped me with all of that, to unmask and to like lean into who I am and to be okay with being my weird little self. And like also just even when I'm not weird, which is not very often, but like when I'm just putting myself out there. And I always remember when I was so freaked out in Italy, which I feel like that was also a really big catalyst for me. But you were like, "Remember who the fuck you are." And I was like, "Okay." You're right. I've done some shit.
You have. Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, it's something I'm trying to get better at embracing, like, because I think what I do for people is bring out the best in them and help them be their best version and their most authentic self by being my most authentic, raw, vulnerable self. And I think we have so many opportunities where we can have that, and a lot of things get in the way, and a lot of us can't always safely unmask and be that weird human that we really are, because you really embraced the role of wearing the Gollum mask during our Lord of the Rings tour in New Zealand, like with these props. And I think that was your real element right there, like your real self. If Gabrielle was like looking in a mirror and it was like a fantasy show, all of a sudden you'd start to see that mask come out, and like, it would be like, "This is who I really am." Yep. Beneath the smile and like the cute exterior, this is who I am.
Yeah. Just weird. Yeah. Like bopping around in the forest.
Crawling around the forest floor.
Literally. But it's great. And we have great pictures and great.
We really do. We really do. And I think that's what it's about, y'all. Like, but for those of you listening, like if you're going to come to the summit that we're putting on, we're talking about this stuff. Like neurodiverse business partnerships, how to make that work when you have different processing styles, different neurotypes, different communication styles, different energy levels, how to navigate a complex medical system that is frankly not designed for us.
Yeah.
Having conversations about nervous system regulation and rewiring and how to support yourself, having conversations about creation and artistry, using your ADHD, spontaneity, and creativity to create hobbies that you don't have to monetize so they don't become too much of a demand. Like, we're talking about it all. We're talking about the autistic burnout and the dream job that I believe I've created that I can't actively participate in. We have physical therapists on there talking about hypermobility EDS and hypermobility spectrum disorders and how to navigate POTS and MCAS and other chronic health conditions. Like, it's a really fucking cool summit. And we put a lot of ourselves into it. And it is completely free.
And it is full of good shit. Like,
yeah.
Truly. And I, you know, I'm thinking, because we just got off with Dr. Zach Spiritos, and that was very validating for me as a female who has been gaslit in so many areas of my life, but especially medically. And just to, like, hear what he was saying and being like, you know, these are real things that people experience. And it's just hugely, it just felt very good to hear that.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. And he was my doctor for a while. I think that's public knowledge, but having those doctors in your corner right now, especially if you're navigating that, like what I am going to call the pentacle, which is autism, ADHD, mast cell activation syndrome, hypermobility, EDS, or other forms of EDS, and then POTS or dysautonomia, you need people in your corner who get it. You need people who don't gaslight you, even if they don't have the answers. And that is something I don't think we speak up about enough in chronic health and illness positions or communities of, like, I don't need toxic positivity. I don't need, oh, well, my cousin did this to feel better, or try these medications, or have you tried working out? Have you tried being act? Shut the fuck up. Do you think I haven't deep dove to the ends of the earth to find a solution to not feel the way that I feel? But what you do need is people who get it, or are at least willing to just say, I don't get it. I don't experience it. It sounds awful. And I'm so sorry. Like, that goes so far.
It makes such a difference, because I have shingles right now. And which, again, like I said this before, but like, if you're listening to this and you're a younger person, you apparently can get shingles if you're stressed enough. So just FYI. And you can also get post shingles neuralgia, which is what I have right now, which is where you have continued nerve pain that can last for months or even years. And I went back to urgent care and she was like, that's not a thing. I've never seen that. You should just have pain where the rash is. And I'm like, well, it feels like my skin is like being stripped off and raw and on fire. So I'm pretty sure that there's something happening. And then this week I went to a new doctor who is cash pay, of course, and more integrative. She's not functional medicine. She's PA, and she's more integrative work, PCP. And it was so easy. She was like, no, I believe you. Here's gabapentin. I know that you're in pain, and I know that it's very uncomfortable, and this will help you. And I was like, thank you. That's like all I fucking wanted.
And even if she didn't have a solution for you, like a takeaway.
Yeah.
Even if she just said, I believe you.
Yeah.
That would have changed your mental state immensely.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that gets missed so often for all of us who are experiencing these complex, chronic, oftentimes invisible illnesses where the medical system has not caught up. Mm-hmm. I went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago and ended up there overnight in anaphylactic shock out of nowhere, reacting to a medication that had been prescribed, in addition to an enormous amount of stress and mycotoxic poisoning. The histamine levels just dumped. Like, there was just nowhere for it to go. It was overflowing. I went into anaphylactic shock while watching a basketball game with my friend at our favorite pub. And I was pretty sure I was having either a stroke or a heart attack. Like, my face went numb where I couldn't smile. And I was like, okay, I'm having a stroke. My extremities went completely numb. My neck, throat, everything went numb and started to close up. My heart was beating a million miles a minute. I couldn't breathe. And when I went to the hospital, they're like, you're having a panic attack. I'm like, I'm not having a fucking panic attack. I am a licensed like mental health therapist. And that's not saying I can't have a panic attack. I know what a panic attack is and feels like. And this is not that. Just like, Jesus Christ. And we just have to be our own best advocates. And it's exhausting. And that's not what this episode is about. So anyway, back to the start. No, in all seriousness,
related.
It is related. It's all interconnected. And that's the reality here. And in the summit, we talk about all of the interconnectivity and whether that be how can we increase in our sense of belonging and community with other neurodivergent people? How can we create business models and hire support in a way that works for us and not against us? How can we work on ways to stop fighting our brain and finally succumb and admit to these are the accommodations and supports that I need in order to flourish or order to survive?
Yeah.
How do we deconstruct internalized ableism in our businesses and in our personal lives? So we have so much jam-packed into this event. We have over 20 speakers, including ourselves. The interviews were fantastic. People gave away parts of themselves. They were so vulnerable, so raw. None of this like pop psychology bullshit that you're going to see on social media. We're not going to make any glamorizations. I can't remember the word that Dr. Megan Neff on Divergent Conversations can never say, because there's a word that we were using for a while and people on social media were like, that's not a word. And we're like, oh, we're going to continue using it. eat shit. Gotta love the trolls on social media too. We talk about rejection sensitive dysphoria, how to handle that, how to handle being perceived, how to build businesses off of social media. Gabrielle Farms came on the other day and talked about that, getting a book deal completely off social media. So we have a lot of cool stuff in store for y'all. And Gabrielle and I are also co-hosting another neurodivergent retreat in New Zealand. And it's not soon enough, but October 24th to the 30th of 2027. And that link is on my website and in my bio and on hers as well. And if there are still spots on there, that means it's still available, but it's going to be amazing. And we're going to spend time. We rented an entire 15 hotel room, boutique hotel, downtown Queenstown, not in the thick of the wild tourism near Lake Wakatipu, about a 10-minute walk through this beautiful nature trail, all secluded. And we're going to spend 6 nights there just connecting and unmasking and sensory soothing and special interest immersing, especially if you're a Tolkien or Middle Earth fan. And God, it felt like I lived in Middle Earth for 30 days. I think that's why it felt so good to be there too. It was like I was in special interest heaven. And I was just like, damn, this is amazing. Like I get to just wake up to this every single day.
Was incredible. And I cannot wait to go back with more folks that we can connect with and help and build community. So I hope you'll join us if you're able to. But either way, the summit is free. So lots of good stuff in there. We have a VIP bundle for $97 also, which has lots of freebies. All of our speakers, or most of our speakers, I should say, contributed a lot of really great things that they put a lot of work into, like courses. Some people are doing like short free consultations, free access to memberships for a month. So there's a lot of really good stuff in there too that hopefully, you know, again, we tried to make it as affordable as we could.
Yep.
But if there's stuff in there that you want, you know, reach out to us and we'll do what we can, but certainly worth the $100 for the speaker's time.
Absolutely. And the speakers do make money when they sell spots for the VIP. So we want to compensate them for their energy and their time as well. And then there's obviously the free version. And I just had a thought that we should probably have the free version all accessible all at once and probably do it for more than 5 days for those of you who have different processing styles. So we'll extend that to make it more accessible. I'm thinking in the moment of something that would have already come up from some of you. So we will make that happen too. And we'll give you a little more time to have access to that stuff before we close it down. So make sure to register. Link is in this podcast description in the show notes. It is on both of our websites, on our social media. So it's very accessible. And if you can't find it, reach out to us and one of our admin will relay the information to you. I want to end this podcast episode with a fun story about New Zealand. I did a vow renewal at Hobbiton, and obviously Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth, Tolkien stuff is my special interest foundation, and did a vow renewal that Gabrielle and her husband Mike came to. But fun fact is that the actor who played Sauron Sala Baker, who was born in New Zealand, was in New Zealand at the time. We became friends randomly while I was doing retreat recon 3 years ago in Portugal. We met and hung out all day, which was mind-blowing to me. And I DM'd him and I said, do you want to come to this vow renewal? And he said, yes. So he and his beautiful wife, Sakari, came the night before. We all ate dinner together. Gabrielle's husband's is a chef and made a beautiful dinner. We just talked about Lord of the Rings and behind the scenes and drank wine and ate food. And then we went to Hobbiton the next day and it was really, really, really special. And then I said, do you want to come to our neurodivergent entrepreneur retreat and stay with us the entire time? And he said, yes. And then we got to surprise our guests by saying, oh, we also have this person who played Sauron in 3 of the Lord of the Rings movies at this retreat. So unbelievably special. We will not guarantee that that will happen next year, but we will do our best.
And he came to my sound bath and he fell asleep and was snoring. He was so relaxed. It was like the best.
It was really beautiful. You know, it's just nice to have that experience. And we never would have had that stuff if we weren't doing the things that we were doing and we were in alignment with where we're supposed to be. So we hope to see you at Diverge. Make sure to sign up. And if you're interested in New Zealand, check out our websites, check out our socials, or reach out to us directly. We've got 12 and 15 month payment plans on there because we are going all the way to the other side of the world and it is in 15 months and we want to make it as accessible and affordable as possible. So doubt yourself, do it anyway. And we will see you next Wednesday, which is now when episodes come out. And I know I'm going to forget that, but it is now Wednesday on all platforms and on YouTube. And we will see you next week.